from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 11, and on page 203 in the Church Bibles. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
And the gospel reading is in Luke chapter 4. It's the first 13 verses, and it's on page 1030 in our church Bibles. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil then led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They'll lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, It says, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. Tempted as I am by that second passage. It's a problem we have when we're preaching at 9 o'clock. There's two passages to choose from, and it's not easy sometimes because they're both good. But I'm heading today for that first passage in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Thank you. How often have we heard parents say, "What do you say?" when a child's been given a present and they're desperately keen to rip the paper off and get on with it. "What do you say?" And a little timid voice says, "Thank you." Or perhaps an excited voice, "Let's get on with it quickly." And this is what this passage is all about. It's Moses saying to the children of Israel, "Say thank you." The children of Israel had been in Egypt, as we read earlier on in this passage. They had a tough time. They were brought out of Egypt. Then they found themselves wandering in the desert or the wilderness, whatever you like to call it. And God said, "Not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land, the promised land, the land full of milk and honey, which I swore to your forefathers. So they were told early on that none of that generation, with one exception, and that wasn't Moses, were actually going to make it to the promised land. So as Moses spoke to the children of Israel here to prepare them for their time when they went into this wonderful land of milk and honey, he knew that he personally wasn't going to make it. And the word Deuteronomy itself means the law repeated. And that's what Moses was doing. The law had been set out in the earlier books of the Bible, but it was very much for the professionals. It was the priests who would really learn from it. Whereas Deuteronomy is written to the man in the street. It's written to you and I, written to ordinary people. It's instructions for right living. And if you look at some of the headings in the Bible in the previous chapters, you find exclusion from the assembly, marriage violations, a rebellious son, marrying a captive woman, the right of the firstborn. Lots and lots of instructions for living that Moses gave to the children of Israel. And it's so practical, in fact, that interestingly, there's over 80 references in the New Testament to the words that are spoken here in Deuteronomy. So we've got the children of Israel in the desert, and that hymn we just sung a moment or two ago is a very, very good picture of the desert. I love Israel. I've been on many occasions. I no longer go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or Church of Annunciation. I need to be careful. That's all being recorded to say they're dreadful. But they are. It's just souvenir sellers, priests fighting each other, the police coming to separate them. It's ghastly. And I stay outside and have a glass of cold Fanta while the group go into these places. What I love, though, are the places in Israel which you can picture were like that thousands of years ago. And one of the highlights to me is to stand on the top of a mountain, and as far as you can see, there's simply dry, bare land and rocks and the odd little bit of tough grass or cactus coming through. Absolutely awful. The thought of living there 40 years, after 40 minutes, I've had it and I'm back to the air-conditioned coach. It really is barren. It is nothing. And those people lived in those conditions for all that time. And Moses is saying to them, "Look, you've been promised the land of milk and honey. It's coming. Now, when you get there, guys, say thank you. Say thank you." And I want us today just to concentrate on those two words. We're not good so often at saying thank you. David, when he'd had the whip round, the gift day for all the goods that were needed, the money needed to build the temple, said, "Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" So much had been given. Everything, he said, comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. It is all God's. The soil that we tread on, the soil that produces the goods, it is his. Creation is his. And we're quite good at saying, "Well, this is mine," And we'll mention that just a little bit later on about the concept of tithing. But it comes from us saying, well, this is mine. Now, a tenth will move over to God and the 90's mine. You've got it wrong, said David. Everything is his. Everything is his. And therefore, it's not a matter of saying, well, a tenth can go to you. It's a matter of saying, how much do I need and the rest is yours? The rest is yours. We'll come on to that later on. The children of Israel then, wandering through the wilderness in tough times, having had an awful time in Egypt, and now the promised land on its way. Is that better? Thank you. And my question, do we give thanks? Do we give thanks personally and as a church? Jesus set the example with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us our daily bread. Do we give thanks as individuals and a church? And we're not good at it, are we? There's a litany of requests that tend to come out in our time of prayer, not just for ourselves, but the world, and certainly situations in Syria and Afghanistan. And I'm not being critical at all. We need to bring those things to God, but we're not good at spending time saying, thank you, Lord. You are the Lord. All things come of you. Life and breath come from God. I don't know how many times I've breathed in my 76 years, how many times my heart has beaten. I dread to think. Thousands, hundreds of thousands. God gives us the basics of life. Health, doctors, yes, we have our illnesses, but many of us sitting here today are beyond the 70 years and 10. We're on overtime, as some youngster said to me not very long ago. And God has given us health. He's given us doctors that mean that when we are ill, we can go up the road to the hospital. God has given us these things. God's given us relationships. Can you imagine life without husbands, wives, sons, daughters, close friends, people sitting next to us and around us here in church this morning? Relationship. God has given us those relationships. And yes, he has given us money and goods. But we tend to head straight for that topic when we say, what's God given? Well, he's given me, and get the bank statement out. No, that's way down the list as far as I'm concerned. What he's given us are these basics in life. All things come of thee. And that picture is just a lovely picture of so many of the things that I've referred to there. The family, as well as the food that's on the table. Yes, he gives us good things. And I smiled when I was on holiday, had supped with some folk, some Americans, and one of them was complaining bitterly about the amount of luggage that his wife took around when they travelled, and muttering and moaning about excess baggage. And one of the others said, oh, he said, when Nancy and I checked in, the chap behind the check-in desk said, oh, blimey, this isn't luggage, this is cargo. And poor Nancy carries an awful lot around with her. But I find myself at the end of a day saying, you've done it again. I lay in bed at night and I say, Lord, you've done it again. Thank you. I'm lying in my comfortable bed in a nice place. Thank you. Thank you for today. Moses said, when you're settled, do this. Interesting. When you've got feet under the table in the promised land, rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. Rejoice in what he's given. Do we do that? We're so quick, aren't we, to just niggle the things that aren't going right. Rejoice in what he's given. Paul says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. I've learned to be content. The peace that is the Christian's right and role. I've learned to be content with what God gives to me, because God gives us all things. The danger, certainly as far as I'm concerned, is complacency, to almost take it for granted. It's what God gives to us. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Paul, in all his gospel epistle letters to churches, in all of them, he says, I thank God for you. The church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi, church in Rome, I thank God for you. And again, there's a lesson for us. Here we are sitting. When the service is over, there's going to be an awful lot of chat at the back over cups of coffee and so on. We know each other. We love each other. And we treasure just being able to talk with each other. Our little house groups are a classic situation. We learn. We need to give thanks to God and thanks for the work that others do. Interesting, a little book that a youth leader wrote, and he took away the leaders of some of the youth groups that he was involved with, and he gave them all a little box of chocolates. And lady said, well, what's this all about? And he said, oh, the chocolates are a small way of saying thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing to grow young people. As we said these words, she burst into tears. Then she told us, in all the years that I've led my youth group, no one has ever said thank you. It's quite an indictment. Nobody's ever said thank you. And Moses said, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce. Not the leftovers, the first fruits. The first fruits. And all of them as well. And what are my first fruits? Well, money, I'm going to come to that in a moment. It's down the bottom. What is it we've got that we can give? Isn't time a major thing? We are busy, but oh, it does grieve me sometimes. People say, oh, no, I'm too busy to do that. Well, yeah, sure, there's a lot to do. There's 24 hours only. But when we prioritise our time, does the first fruit go to God? It was interesting. Simon said last Sunday, I think it was, that a family had left the church here because they said that they didn't believe that God came before the family. Well, worse to that effect, I think. Yes, Simon's nodding. I've not misquoted. But that had been said. God comes first. And they said, no, the family comes first. This isn't an either-or. It's a both-and. First fruits of all that we have, our time, our skills. What a mess we'd be in our church here if we didn't have somebody like Peter Clark making sure the building stayed in a decent shape for us. How he copes with that, I've no idea, but he does. What a mess we'd be in if we didn't have somebody like Derek Strathern coping with the finances. I understand that a lot more, being, as you probably know, a retired accountant. And what Derek does is a phenomenal job. We know where we are financially, which is so much more than many charities do. The skills, the first fruits of all that you produce, give. I walked in here on Friday and had to try and carefully map my way through all the mothers and fathers and children on the floor here, packed rainbows. The skills involved, as you see Heather and Lizzie going around, sitting on the floor and chatting. Give, said Moses, the first fruits. And then there's a good gap when it comes, in my book, to money. But we need to give. We need to give the best. Little child there. Christmas time, and Mum said, give a toy to the poor children who don't have any. And he produced a toy. She said, why have you given that one? And he said, oh, it won't work. But isn't that so often true? It's what's left over is what goes to God. All things come of you. All things. And let me just whiz through quickly. I was not sure whether I ought to be putting this in or not, but let me. If people in our church had an income of 10,000 a year, and I know many have no income at all, or hardly any, but 10,000 certainly for anyone who's earning. If you tithe that, a tenth of it, it'd be £1,000 a year. Last count, there was 239 members, I see in our annual report. It would give us £239,000. Some of that would be gift-aided. Let's jack it up to £300,000, budget covered. I've rushed through that bit because that's where we concentrate. I don't want to this morning. All things come of thee, O Lord, all things. And let's give God thanks for what we have. And let's give him the first fruits of all that we have. And yes, money is one of those things. But it comes, in my opinion, below us, our time, and the skills we have. Moses said, when you get there, stop, put your feet under the table and say, thank you, Lord. It's a lesson for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the very breath that we've got. Thank you for the ground we stand on. Thank you that you provide all things to us. And it's of your own do we give back to you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.